I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back to Bettencourt's Flea Circus. My name is Cliff, and who are you? Hello?
Yes, I have a name this week. Okay. I'm not just myself, I'm somebody else. This week, I'm the son of former German footballer Stefan Kuntz.
Okay, what's his name?
Well, my name's Eustace, and I'm a footballer as well. I haven't quite lived up to my dad's reputation or anything like that. I'm not as good as my dad, but I'm being tracked by Sunderland and Newcastle, so there you go.
Eustace Kuntz?
Yeah, that's me.
Who do you play for now?
Wolfsburg reserves.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Wolfsburg. It's called. I think they're called Wolfsburg Zwei.
Zwei.
I think. Zwei. So. I think they're called Wolfsburg right. Two.
Well, there you go.
If indeed, I mean, I should you are know a that, real person.
I am a real person, Eustace Kuntz.
And what have you been up to this week apart from thinking of that joke and giggling to yourself?
I've been watching a lot of football. Unfortunately, I've been listening to Sunderland play. I was listening yesterday because I refused to watch them and got beat off Shrewsbury.
Yes,
so that was nice.
We say this a lot. That sounds like that's probably the worst result we've ever had.
Yeah. What made it worse? I don't know if you've seen Lee Johnson's comments at the end of the game. He's getting on my tits a little bit. Like
I told you.
which is no good. He said that we didn't bring my USP to the game.
What is our USP?
I mean, what is he on The Apprentice or something?
I've never heard anybody say that in football. And also... We did bring our USP to the game. Our USP is getting beaten by really shit teams.
It is.
What does he think it is?
It is. So he is getting on me wick. It's just useless. Absolutely terrible.
He just talks a load of shit, doesn't he? He's all jargon. He's been on a business management course and read a couple of self-improvement books. That's it.
And from the other football that I've seen, have you seen that thing that the footballers are doing now? Can football get any more ridiculous? Where they're lying down behind people taking a free kick in the wall. What's that?
That's not new this season, though. I've seen that happen before.
Well, I haven't watched football this regularly.
Why don't
for a
they
while.
Just not jump?
Exactly. Why don't they just extend that person who's lying on the floor over their heads?
Yeah, carry them like pall bearers.
That's what they should.
Is it for the one in 20 free kicks that somebody sneakily tries to go under the wall?
It never happens. I mean, it hardly happens. Like once a season. Yeah. Once a season. It's pointless. Just so stupid.
Pointless.
It's just awful. And then I saw David Luiz celebrate a defensive header as if he had scored a goal. What a minge.
He was proper chuffed with that, wasn't he?
He was. I didn't like that. And on Friday, the Ben wanted to start watching Star Wars films again. So watch the Phantom Menace, and what a terrible film
that
is.
Is that the Jar Jar Binks one?
It is, yeah.
I've still never watched that.
Well, I'll explain the film now to you. It's a film about the taxation of trade routes.
Sounds perfect for a child to watch on a weekend afternoon.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. What about you?
So it was my dad's birthday at
yes
on Sunday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dad, Brian.
Yes.
Hope you had a nice day. He's present from me, I'm sad to say, reached him one day late, which is entirely my fault. So,
but at least it reached him.
Yeah, it did. Card and a present. Well, just some beers. He said he liked the beers, but I didn't know whether he meant he had had them before and he was glad I got them, or he just liked the sound of the names because it was like Hog's Back or something like that they were called.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, well, that's nice.
That was good. And I know you'll have seen his display of presents on Facebook, which was very impressive, wasn't it?
It was very impressive. Star Wars t-shirt. I also saw a picture of him looking smart as a dot.
Yeah, yeah. He got all dressed up. He looked like a character from a Guy Ritchie film.
He looked like Quentin Crisp.
He'll have you for that.
You didn't, Brian. I'm only joking.
What else? Have we got any messages on the old internet this week on Twitter out like that?
No, nothing. I've got a question for you, though.
Okay, ask, question go on. For you, ask away.
You know how I've been watching all these, say, Star stuff, Star Trek, Star Wars, and stuff like that? Uh-huh. Do you think, you know, when we do eventually sort of get to the stars and sort of get to other planets,
yeah,
do you think that there'll be Geordies in space? Because I've never seen them on Star Trek, have you?
Nah, there's some different accents. There's Scots, isn't there?
There's Scots. Yeah, well, Scott Ian, he's from Aberdeen, I think, Scotty. So there.
Not in the new ones, though.
I'm watching, because I've actually finished 7 whole series of Star Trek, The Next Generation, so I'm into Deep Space Nine, and there's an Irish, quite a famous Irish at Bennett.
Colm Meaney, is it?
Yeah, He's
like him. He's good.
He is good. So they've got the Scots, the Irish, no Geordies.
Imagine if there's a Scouser in it.
That would be class, wouldn't it? They should be in, though. That surely they haven't just said accent, so to all the regions. He will. But surely they haven't said all the regions.
I don't even know why.
You've got to stay on it.
I don't even know why there's British people in it. They're all come from the ship's gone from America, hasn't it?
The Federation of Planets. I guess it's just a whole thing now.
No, but the USS Enterprise.
Yeah.
It's from America.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, there's one of them that go the name back. Like that. It's from America. Uh-huh. So yeah. Why have they got all of these British, like?
Do you think there's a Geordie ship somewhere?
I think it's like a reason pet, but for spaceships. I reckon there's probably there's probably one ship with the Geordies on.
Yeah, just full of Geordies. That would be good. I'd like that.
What else is happening? It's Valentine's Day coming up. Is it the day after we record this comes out? Probably.
Yes. Sunday. Yes, I think so. Sunday,
you got anything? Would you say you're a romantic man?
I always like to get a present, a gift for my wife at Valentine's Day, but she doesn't. She always says, "Oh, don't get us anything or whatever." Mm-hmm. But I always tend to. Normally, we just sort of have like a nice meal. We have a steak and stuff like that. That's what we normally have. And pink fizz.
Would you consider cooking on Valentine's Day to make up for your past misdemeanors?
No. Of course I wouldn't.
So you want to set the cook
because for you? I'm unwilling. I just don't know how to do it. And I would end up severing my hands on the hob or the grill or whatever it is. So I don't think I would do that. It would be an ultimate disaster if I attempted to do that.
So Lisa will cook, right? Or will you get a takeaway?
Yeah, Lisa will probably cook. But the thing is, when you've got kids our age, you don't have a Valentine's Day, like, you know, people without kids.
I'm not going to have one.
It just doesn't happen. I mean, if we have anything, it's the whole family. It's a family thing, so it's not like that. And obviously, we can't go anywhere, can we? So, what about you? Are you going
to? Well, I was going to ask. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about how grateful you would be for Lisa, if she was going to cook a full meal for you.
I'm always grateful. Yes.
So you haven't ever said to her when she's brought you breakfast in bed, My egg's too runny, my toast not brown enough, and you've not melted the cheese enough in my omelette. And I presume this is from a different meal. Who the fuck put extra chicken in my curry sauce?
I don't know where these claims have come from, to be perfectly honest.
I'm just riffing off the top of my head things that you might have said.
I don't know where.
And if you had have said the last one, would you have had a bag of grapes thrown off your head?
I most definitely would. That the infamous graben. I think that was our first argument that we ever had. She was at the top of the stairs. Why she had a bunch of grapes in her hand from the top of the stairs. And she threw the bunch of grapes in me face. I stormed out the house.
You're lucky that they were in the bag, otherwise they would have been all over.
That makes me sound like quite a past podcast also have made us sound like a bit of a male chauvinist, and I'm anything but.
I think you probably need to look at some of the language you use around women and come back on the next episode. I know you are. I think she wanted to get her own back on. I don't know why. Yeah. It was me who was taking the piss out of her pizza sandwich, don't you?
All I'll say in my defence is those were a few very isolated incidents over the course of 15 years of marriage. So
taken out of context.
Completely taken out of context. Thanks for that, Lisa. Or did you get in touch and say, oh, has he said anything bad to you over 15 years?
Well, Brett, I mean, you obviously don't realise this, but Lisa reaches out to me about once a week to run down the various the various things you've done and said to her that week that are making her feel a little bit down. So,
you're a confidant, are you?
It was just coincidence. Yeah. She just messages before this saying, here's some ammo for you.
Nice.
Coincided with Jane saying she enjoyed Lisa's bit on it last week. And them two should just do one.
that would be a good idea, wouldn't it? Probably better for this week, actually, wouldn't it?
For Valentine's Day or for food?
No.
Or is that another stereotype for you?
Damn!
Right, talking about food, we're going to get our mate, Twitter friend, supporter of the podcast, Davey Hall on. And he is a former MasterChef contestant, not just contestant. We'll find out a little bit more.
I've
sent him the link, so he should be on in a little bit. So I know Davey on Twitter for a few years now. Before we started doing this, and really, he used to do here he is. He used to do recipes and stuff like that on there, and I didn't know why, and now I do.
You didn't know why?
Anyway, he's joining us. So for anybody who knows me out here and always says, yeah, your accent goes off the charts when you do the podcast and talk to Brett, there's going to be three of us now. So
it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse.
Gladly.
Oh, there you go.
Hello, lads.
All right.
Hello, David.
You're the wrong way around.
You're sideways.
I'm doing it on my phone because my laptop's shit. So, I'm just going to put this on here. I'm getting all my snazzy technology out here.
Yeah, you do your own podcast. How have you managed?
What did Chris Waddle say about this? Chris Waddle would have been pissed off.
I don't care. He's a Mac and bastard. Just comment. Paula mentioned, you've mentioned this a few times about Brett, how he always has this mysterious setting, and now I see what you're talking about.
Right?
It's fucking scary. It's like Darth Marenghi's remember Garth Marenghi's Dark Place?
Yeah, brilliant show. I love it.
Are we talking about football tonight, by the way?
We're talking about your MasterChef and that one.
Brett obviously can't cook a thing, which we've just talked about. You'll hear more about that. But I love MasterChef, and I really love cooking. So I'm massively interested in what it was like when you were on the show. So do you want to fill people in on like when you were on it and what
Well, Well, I think it's also important to know that I'm not on here for them reasons. I'm on here because I bullied my way on. I said to you, I want to be on your podcast. Can I be on your podcast? And I had to use a really weak link of being on some television show 14 years ago. You're wrong there, but,
that's not true at all.
That's not
definitely
the reason.
Not true.
Not the reason.
It's good to be on. But well, I mean, it was 15 years ago. I was on it twice, believe it or not. I was on MasterChef used to be called MasterChef with Lloyd Grossman. Yep. You remember that? That was a classic one going back to the '80s and that.
Yep.
And then I think it sort of disbanded, and then they reinvented themselves as MasterChef Go Large in 1995, I think it was. And I remember watching it and going, I can go on that. I'm going to go on that. I love cooking, me like. And it was literally just, you know, it was always been like a hobby of mine. I've always loved cooking, so. I actually went on it the year after, and I got past the first round, and then I got booted out. They used to do this thing where it was like you had to go in and look at ingredients. You might have seen that on the clips that you saw.
They
don't do that now, but I went in and I was like, and that's when I realised, I thought maybe I don't know that much about food. It was like, and then they booted us out before I had a chance to cook again. But then what they used to do was invite certain contestants back. And I don't think they invited contestants back because they were good. I think they didn't just invite them back because they were gullible and stupid like me. So
that's not true at all. Definitely not from what I've watched, mate.
They were like, David, do you want to come back on this show? We're doing this thing where we invite contestants back. And I was like, So I went back on and I thought, well, I'll try and do a bit better than I did the last time. And fucking hell, I didn't, you know, I didn't expect it to get, you know, I got through to the final four. Unfortunately, I didn't get through to the very last three that go on the last week and go on the nice trips and that. But the budget was a bit smaller than anyway, so I think we only sent it to Spain. But it was just, you know, it was a brilliant experience and like great, but you didn't realise how stressful and how, I suppose, how much it takes out of you once you've left the show. I mean, I was gutted. I mean, properly gutted. You've not seen the episode because I've refused to show you it. I'll send you after it, but I cried my eyes out and it was pathetic. Well,
No shame in that. I don't think so, no.
I mean, you could tell from the episodes that I've watched, definitely, that, you know, you were in there to win it. I mean, you were determined to win it and you were very passionate about cooking and stuff like that, you know. And that's the thing that I got from watching that episode, how passionate you were about wanting to do well. Yeah. And I love that about it. I'm not a fan, really, of these programs, as I've mentioned, as he'll tell you. Do you know what I mean? I'm not a fan of cooking. But it was almost like watching a football match, Davey Wee. I was like, I was willing you on. Do you know what I mean?
It's funny because, like, you have your little two minutes of fame. You know, you're about Z-listers. I'm off the fucking alphabet at the table. I can remember there was only two times. I remember being in Asda, right? When it was being shown on the telly. And I was walking around Asda and shameful, our lass had sent us to Asda to get a couple of microwave curries. I went in and as I'm approaching the aisle, I could hear people whispering, is that Tim?
Yeah, Tim.
Is that Tim off MasterChef? Like that. And there was people looking at us, right? So I gave a few polite smells, felt really quite embarrassed, and then decided to not get the curries because I would look like a twat and go to another island, get a stick a few veggies in as if I knew where I was going. And then I remember going out with the lads in Newcastle that same week, and there was a match on the Saturday, and I got spotted by a few pissheads, and there was this famous time in the pub where, again, it was quite embarrassing. I went for a piss. And there was a bloke stood next to you and, are you that fucking lad off MasterChef? I went, aye. You went, you're fucking kidding. He started trying to shake your hand. And then when I came out, all these mates were like, yeah, is it too late? Yeah. It didn't last for long, like the fame.
At least you had it, though.
It was a good laugh. It was a good laugh. But, you know, it was the enthusiasm you talk about there. With the things that I love in life, music being the other thing, and gaming, which which in TV too, which all the topics that you love as well, I am uber enthusiastic about these things, and I can talk all day about them. And I think when I was on there, I probably went in a overdrive. I'm like a big kid still, you know, even though I'm on a certain age. And, you know, but I did enjoy it. And if if I could go back, I would certainly do things a bit differently. I would calm down a little bit and stuff, you know, and just think things through a little bit that I thought. Uh-huh. You know, no regrets.
I think one of the things is watching, I often do it if there's a Geordie on a show, you automatically think, well, I hope that, as long as they're not a dickhead, you automatically think, I hope they do all right. And then I wonder, do I like them because they're Geordies or are they a nice bloke? But and this is what happened on this. John Turode and Glenn, he's going to have us. He'll tweet us, Greg Wallace. Greg Wallace, obviously really liked you. Like, they liked you. They wanted you to do well. You can see from the show, even if there was a couple of mistakes, they were willing you and going, you know what, there might have been a couple of mistakes there, but what a bloke, what a character. And he's got bags of potential. And, he, you know, you said it, if somebody like them got you for a month in their kitchen or something like that, by the end, you would be absolutely flying, even if you didn't know anything that they're going to teach you at the beginning, because you wanted to pick it all up and all of that kind of stuff. And then I think that's partly because of who you are and where you're from, that the way you were, and I think it's often the same for a lot of people when they're on shows like this, like reality shows, or they're normal people. People do warm to them more when they're Geordies. I'm sure they do. They're the other one. And you are the only one who didn't seem incredibly posh out of every contestant that was on.
Do you not think you find that, though, when you watch your show and you're like, God, everyone's fucking middle class. When's the, you know, sort of the working class person going to rise to the top? And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, and there probably has been a few people in the final and winners as well.
Yeah,
who've come from the streets of Sheens. but you two lads. But I don't know. Maybe you're right, and I think you get sucked into it so much that you believe anything. And even when they're saying, "My God, this food, it's the best. That's the best fish I've ever tasted. The best halibut dish I've ever tasted." You're like, Jesus, and you're ringing home. It's the best halibut dish I've ever tasted.
I always think is, like, I know a couple of fellas out here that know John Turode, that they've worked with him and stuff like that, and apparently he's a really nice bloke, and I think he comes across quite well on it. Although in that first episode we watched, he looked like he had just come out of a 1970s nightclub. He had that like velvet kind of jacket on with the shirt collar over it. And there's one bit where they're doing like the judging, and he's fucking sweating buckets and pale as fuck. Looks like he's had a proper hangover from
hell. The thing is, though, who doesn't sweat on this program?
No, I know. I'm saying that with a pinch of salt, obviously.
Yeah.
But, well, can I just say, I don't mind sending you it, as long as you don't talk about it in your podcast. Do what you want. But talking about sweat, on the episode when I actually went out, I was under massive pressure. I'll tell you the full story another time. It's too boring, but I've got my reasons. But I was hanging over the food and I was panicking. I knew it was all going shit for us, you know. And they're clever with the cameras, they pick up anything. Like even the freeze frames at the end when you're like,
yeah,
I had the worst burning face in the world, you know, as you're drinking the champagne. Yeah. But I was sweating. I was sweating, and there was a big bead of sweat fell off my nose, and the camera caught it. And when I watched it back on the telly, I was like, "You fucking bastard! I can't believe you put that in." How embarrassing is that?
That's the other thing I got from watching it. Like, they're ramping up the pressure all the time, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's so tense, isn't it? And you can tell.
And it's even more so now, Brett. And I think, you know, if I went on now, I don't think I'd last 5 minutes. I'm not being, you know, modest there. Maybe I'm a good cook, but I'm a good cook. That's it. I'm not like restaurant standard out like that.
I think it's mad now, but when you watch it, the first round, people are using sous vides and making espumas and shit like that. And they're like, Jane always says to me, what if you went on, what would you cook? You're a good cookie guy. And I'm like, I would be what you're saying, where they go, how do you, like, I don't know, fucking bone a hake and make a whatever that first test, I would be shit at it. I would fail it straight away. I can cook the things that I know how to cook, but that's it.
Yes.
The difference is mad now, I think, but I suppose as the budgets are bigger, the prizes are probably bigger.
It's become a global show now, Cliff, and obviously the franchise has been sold around the world, and there's no doubt about it. Back then, I mean, I think I was saying to you, Brett, on Twitter, how fucking 2000s did it look? You know, you were talking about. Remember, you were talking about Games Master, and you were saying how 80s did that look? You know, how 2000s look? Yeah. The haircut, the slightly baggy clothes, and you know, the whole setting. And but you can see that the budget's gone up to send them off to, you know, bloody Mexico and everything now, and cooking in the finest places. But I think, I can't remember where I've gone now. Where have I gone? What the fuck am I talking about?
You're talking about, I messaged you.
That was it.
Yesterday, didn't I? And I said that you had the best haircut on the show, didn't you? You definitely got the best haircut.
Yeah.
I know. Did I have the swagger as well?
But you did. You had the baggy pants and everything, man. You looked, you were rock on.
Baggy pants. Can I just ask you, Brett, if you went home, would you cook mint?
No, I wouldn't touch that dirty, rotten stuff, man. It's the stuff of the devil.
What's all that about, man? It's all weird, man.
Cheese and toast, the limit I go to. But I do have one question for you, Davey. What the fuck is panarepi?
You're joking, aren't you? Oh. Are you being serious?
I haven't got a clue where it is.
He doesn't know what it is, but this is a big debate for me and Jane and other people I know.
And how to pronounce it. Is it panhaggerty or panhaggerty?
Exactly. So we call it panhaggerty, and it's slightly different. But I think really it must have just been what people had. We have corned beef. So we have slices of potatoes, onions, and corned beef in like a gravy made in a pan.
That's what we used to have when we were a kid as well, Cliff. That was panhaggerty. But I just thought I'd develop it further by using garlic and cheese. That's basically it's just like what Paul's just said there. Brett, it's just sliced potato with anything shoved in between it. I think it's slow cooked. You know, like every region's got different, like Scouts in Liverpool, you know, Lancashire hot pot. It's that kind of thing really. But panhaggerty.
Nice. Whenever I go home. I asked my mum to make it for us. So,
the thing is that my taste as a kid are very similar to the taste that I have now. Just normal stuff, you know. I mean, if my mum had said, you know, he has panagati or whatever, I would have, what? What's that?
Oh, how's that not normal? That? It is normal. So, it's like
I guess normal. To me, do you know what I mean? Yeah. If it wasn't beans on toast, I'm like Ringo Starr, man, when he went to India. Do you know what I mean? I'm getting beans jetted over and stuff like that. That's all. I'm terrible.
Brilliant. But, you know, it's funny you were talking last week about I just like normal food. But the thing is, you know, like I got brought up on, you know, Finder's crispy pancakes, beans on toast, just the usual shite, you know, and Shields, you know, that stuff that was shoved in the oven. And I loved it. I ate it all. It was great. But it wasn't really until I left home that I thought, I kind of keep eating crispy pancakes all the time. I'm going to start looking into it a bit more, you know.
I was going to ask you how you started, like, cooking more. I know kind of when and what got me on it, because I was exactly the same. Stuff in the oven. I mean, my mum would make panagoli, shepherd's pie and broth and all of that kind of stuff, but we never had like pasta, pizza, Chinese, Indian food out like that. We had traditional British stuff and freezer food, I suppose, and sandwiches.
I'd love to say that it was to do with my mum teaching us, you know, that sort of like stereotypical setting. She was a great cook and she used to pull me in at every opportunity to cook, but she was a fucking shy cook. You know, she would, you know, boil the cabbage for 3 hours and all that kind of stuff. And it was just minging, you know? So I think it was when I went to university and in my mid 20s down in Leeds. And it was then really our lass, who I'm married to now at the time, she taught us a few things, and that from there I just got some confidence. I started cooking. I started mm-hmm. buying every cookbook in the, under the mm-hmm. sun and just cooking. But a very normal, you know, normal food, you know, just basic stuff, you know. But mm-hmm. obviously when I went on MasterChef, I was thinking, right, I'm really going to have to learn how to make a stock, or, you know, thicken a sauce, or, you know, make a mousse, or, you know, them kinds of things where it's probably just going a little bit over the normal home cook, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But I still love it now. I still cook a lot now. And obviously, I'm just a family provider now, and I absolutely mm-hmm. love cooking. If mm-hmm. I could have made a living from it, not necessarily in the kitchens, I would have done it. I still do a little bit of food writing and the like. And I used to do demonstrations up at Eldon Square. Mm-hmm. But they lost the franchise up there. They did, so that all kind of stopped. But it's always going to be there for me. And obviously, I teach my two girls as much as I can, really.
Yeah.
The other thing that always does me was when I went to the senior school, King George Comprehensive, which was fantastic. Obviously,
so good they knocked it down.
They've knocked all the schools down that I've ever been to, actually. But we did home economics class and stuff, and I made a cake and I brought it home. I was pretty proud of this cake that I'd made. And me dad, who was a bit of a wind-up merchant, to say the least, he sang the song, "If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake constantly at us until I cried." So I think that might have put us off me cooking.
One thing I was going to say to you, Davey, which is often a game I play when I'm watching this show, is, are they a dick? Or are they just posh? So all the people that you are in the final with might have been lovely people, but I couldn't get away with it.
What about Ben? I'll throw Ben's name out there.
Yeah, Ben.
We weren't sure about Ben. He put everything up, didn't he?
It was a long time ago. He was doing everything very, you know, he was being very chefy. I'm still in touch with a couple of them.
Not Ben.
Just on Twitter. No, Ben dropped off, you know, but I'm still in touch with Steve and Hannah. Very rarely. But they were all Londoners. Were all, I think they weren't dragged up like me. I don't think they were from the mean streets of Shields, as we said earlier. They were from that kind of setting. But, you know, I don't think it makes you a bell end, you know.
It's just that kind of reverse snobbery, isn't it? That after a while, you think it's probably not fair. But Go on.
Yes, listen to me. Go on. It's your podcast. I think what you said earlier on, you do. I think if you're watching a show like MasterChef, whatever it is, and there's a Geordie on in your Geordies, it's like, or a McLemore, somebody from the area.
Yeah.
It was like when Watty's face was on X Factor. It's all that. I hate that fucking horrible music. But you want them to win still, and you were watching it because of that reason, you know, Joe Summer, because he was from Shields. So I think you do champion people where they're from. There was no doubt there was somebody posh going, that fucking posh, that Geordie wanker, cooking all those huge plates of horrible food. I hope he disappears quickly. So I think you're right. Maybe it is you just championing where people are from.
I was going to, before I started, I was thinking, I wonder who won this series that you were on. Because obviously some of the people have gone on. So some of the people... I think, you know what it is? If you had been on a series 10 years later, coming fourth, you probably would have had your own book out. You would have been all kinds of things. You're just like unlucky that when you were on, it was still in its like infancy coming back to what it is now. But here
and
you always,
no social media. No social media, right?
Exactly,
right?
So, for people to get behind you.
That's like you in the first round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when when I worked at the Gazette, it was when Joe McElderry won. And, you know, it was like that, the Gazette what won it kind of thing, because it was just ringing in, right? You just, every single person rang in a million times. We had them on the front page every day. Like, it was all that kind of stuff. You don't have that with the show that you were on. Otherwise, you would have, you know, you probably would have done really well, because like you say, one thing that people from the Northeast, especially because we know that, they'll just get behind it. They'll just keep texting a million times until they're like thousands of pounds in debt. It's just because yeah, you're yeah, like exactly a telly show.
Unless you think you're a bell end. I'm pretty sure people thought I was as well.
Mate, I don't think so.
No, definitely.
Because I know you've messaged saying just take the piss out of us, you know, while I was at a daft cooking show and all of that. Brett messaged us going, yeah, he's a lovely bloke, isn't he? Yeah, he is.
Well, that's true. I think that comes across in the show when you watch it. You are a down-to-earth, lovely guy. And that's another reason why I was, you know, really rooting for you to win. I didn't know the outcome of it or anything like that. But yeah. No, it's true. You are right in what you're saying. We're all like a tribe. It might be, you know, Newcastle supporters or Sunderland supporters or whatever. You might have your unrealistic expectations as a Newcastle fan. I don't know. But we're all in the same tribe, really, aren't we? We all want each other to do well. And the thing is, you're playing it down a little bit because I thought you were absolutely fantastic. I thought, you know, I'm not a massive foodie fan or whatever, but I'd eat all your stuff, mate, because it looks absolutely class. That Polish stuff. On the other hand, no, I haven't got the Panagini, you know.
I watched that one back and I was like, oh, dear. One of them, it was like, it looked like some grey, dirty.
It looked like the grey water from It.
Well, one of my mates lives in Poland and I've been over to see him a couple of times. Married to a Polish lass, Neil. I think he'll be listening. And honestly, the food does all look a little bit like that, but it is lush. But it's just like it's like north of England food. It's just like broth and stuff like that that warms you up and fills you up.
Yes,
it's full of flavor and it doesn't look pretty most of the time. But honestly, it is lush. But still, that soup that she made, fucking hell! And sorrel soup. You need something more than sorrel in a soup. I'm sorry.
What was the other thing? Biggest.
But I thought it was Bijas, right? I had that when I was there, and it's this soup, and it comes in, and I'm won over by this. It comes in a hollowed out massive loaf of bread, and then you have this kind of cabbagey soup in it, and meaty, porky, cabbagey soup. Slush, but didn't look like she tried to make it look nice, but it's definitely better. Like what? Obviously, when you're in like -5 Warsaw or whatever, getting a big bowl of this stuff, it's lush. But that was a bit of an odd one for the show, I think.
Biggest.
I love that. It's one of my favorite films.
That's he's got a brother, you know.
Brilliant. You have to do a Monty Python one sometime.
We'll definitely have. I'm a big fan like that.
We've cornered the market in talking about films and television shows that nobody wants to listen to podcasts about.
I disagree. Yeah, I remember but your game, it was just really when I was trying to catch up on your back catalogue. I didn't even realise that you'd done a Games Master one. So I remember when you kind of told us off one year and said, we've fucking done it, man, you know? And I was like, all right. I said, brilliant. Yeah. Now, did you know Games Master's coming back?
Is it?
Right. So when I listen to that, and I've always thought this, as I'm a massive games fan as well, is why the fuck has there never, ever been? Why did they stop it or why did they continue? It's the biggest industry in the world. Mm-hmm. So I was reading about this the other day. I think it was in Metro. Mm-hmm. Metro Gaming, and they were saying that it's been reformatted, but it's going to have the same logo. It's Channel 4, but rather than like that magazine type show that it was, and this is the disappointment, they're going to have like sort of celebrities on competing each week until they're down to a final. A bit like MasterChef, but Games Master, which is a bit disappointing, really. There's no mention about whether it's going to be Dominic Diamond hosting it or out there, but even so, I just thought... I loved Games Master.
I've just getting into me old games. I say old, they're not that old, but I've been playing Fallout 3. I don't know if you're a fan of that one. You like
Brilliant.
The Fallout
games? Played them all, yes.
So I'm playing that again. But that you just brought up someone there, which is like the celebrity aspect of it. I prefer watching programs, you know, like the Chase or whatever, you know, this MasterChef. I prefer it when it's real people. When they bring the celebrities in and stuff like that, it waters it down, doesn't
it's
it?
It's different.
That's
isn't
what
it?
I think. I don't like it, mate.
It's such a weird split in how people think. There's obviously people like us who want to see people like us on the telly doing well.
Yes.
Maybe doing something that you think, fucking hell, imagine if you got to the last four on MasterChef and you went Antigua to cook. You want to do that. And there's another half of the people who are probably the majority who are going, oh, yes, it's that lad off Instagram. And I get to see him walking around Waitrose choosing veg. That means nothing.
Waitrose. Well, that would be posh.
Well, he's on Instagram, isn't he?
There's no Waitrose and Shields.
He's an influencer.
But you're right, that's the only MasterChef I don't watch. I'm a massive fan still. I love watching it. Mm-hmm. I really like the professionals one because I love watching professional chefs.
I love doing
the profession in action, watching the knife skills. I just think it's wonderful.
I love that one, Davey, because the first round to come out and go, okay, fillet this fish, and half of them don't know how to do it. Do they go back to their kitchen and start work again the next day, or does the boss go, hang on, I've just seen that you can't fucking fillet a fish?
they very quickly take the wheat from the chaff there.
But the
professional chef,
the pressure. I mean, it's not going to ruin your career, I'm sure, but it does show people up that are obviously making a living as chefs that probably aren't that better than you or me or loads of people, given a chance to do it.
That's a bit weird, though, because, again, going back to the one that Davey was on, even the dinner lady seemed like a right one, didn't she? She had a right go at you.
This is television. I can tell you right now, when that school were cooking in, I opted to do the fish in the batter and all that because it was the hardest one, right?
Yeah.
I just thought, right, if I volunteer to do that, it's going to change in good light. It's getting towards that time now. The pressure's on. I've got it impressed.
Yeah.
So I made this fucking massive bucket of batter. Mm-hmm. And then I saw them chatting with each other. I saw the producers chatting with her. And the next thing I know, she comes over, the cameras are on us going, you're going to have to do all this again or whatever it was at the time. You're going to have to make more. And I'm like, eh?
So was it all an act?
So guess what, though? When I finished cooking, I cooked hundreds of them fish. There was still fucking half a bucket. One and a half buckets left over. And that's when you start thinking, hang on a sec, is there something up here? And they really amped it up, saying David's running behind and all that. And I wasn't running behind.
That's mental, that, like the way that they can sort of edit it in a certain way to make you look like you've made a mistake. Yeah. And that necessarily isn't the case. That's wrong, isn't it? Did they do that a lot, do you think?
I think so. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I can tell you a few things, but I'm not going to because I might get in trouble.
Yeah.
But there's a few afterwards as the years have gone by and the sleepless nights have made me think about these things in more detail. There's more things I remembered at the time going, hang on, that seemed a bit weird. That was a bit fishy.
Okay.
How on earth did that happen? But we'll see.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, they're making a television program, aren't they? And they want to ramp everything up to the highest level, aren't they? That's what they're there for, isn't it? They're not there for you, exactly. Really. You're the actor there, you know, and they're using you. So, yeah, that's interesting. Definitely.
And I think I probably just had one of them big, daft, red, stupid faces that I thought, if we can really ramp the pressure up on him, his face would be even more redder and dafter. So I don't know. But look, no regrets and all that. And I've done a lot of great things afterwards following that show that I still continue with now, like the little bits of writing jobs that I do and things. Mm-hmm. And obviously just me love of food, you know, so it's good. It's kept the interest going. It wasn't like I threw it all, not going to do it again.
Well,
exactly.
Good on you, mate. We like I say, I love MasterChef, and I will have seen it at the time, so I was really glad to watch it again. Champion, cheers for coming on. We're going to run out of time, so I'm going to say.
Cliff, can I just show you something? Because obviously, last week's episode was about one of my favorite artists, in Steve Mason.
Yeah,
and it was great to listen to because he doesn't get, I don't think, celebrated enough, does he?
I totally
and,
agree.
I saw the Beta Band a few times. I've seen Steve Mason a few times. And look where I've got here. Look.
That's signed. Bloody hell.
Signed from the man himself to David. It says, David, you're a winner, boy. Fight them back. All love, Steve. And I won that one. It was at the Riverside, and I had a little competition on. Even though I had a ticket, I entered it, and I bloody won it.
Nice. That's brilliant, that. Where'd you live again, so I can rob you?
Well, I told you, didn't I? Because we saw that mass murderer walking around.
Yeah, you did, eh? Look, David, we'll have to get you back on and talk about the Smiths and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you
definitely. I'd love to.
Definitely.
Get back on.
Yeah, good crack, Davey, mate. Cheers for being a good sport. And and cheers for following us and always, like, you know, engaging and all of that kind of stuff. We definitely appreciate it. And it's been great crack talking to you. And we'll definitely get you back on in the future for sure.
Brilliant. Definitely. I hope so. Keep up with good work, lads. It's an absolute diamond of a podcast. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Cheers, Davey.
You're a good one, Davey. Thank you very much, mate.
All right.
Cheers, fella.
Good night.
See you later, man.
Bye
now. Right, Miss Jane, the lovely Miss Jane, who we'll have with her now, who's going to answer lots of questions. Hello, Miss Jane.
Hi, it's Mrs. Jane.
In what role-playing game, if you can get this right, I'll be so amazed, in what role-playing game would you find the World Eaters? Would you like a clue? Do you need a clue?
I don't need a clue.
Are you sure?
Is it role-play, like kids role-play, or... is it adult role play?
I guess it could be a bit of both, you know. Lots of adventurous things happen in the bedroom, don't they, Jane?
Well, there's a baby asleep in mine, so hopefully not.
Well, no. And yours.
Okay, so is it like Dungeons and Dragons LARP style role play?
It's very similar, very similar.
Okay,
yes.
I'm going to say Warhammer.
Wow.
Wow.
You've just gone and got it right.
Perfect. Amazing.
You're amazing. You're amazing, Jane. The Potato Eaters is considered to be which artist's first work of art? What do you think of that?
I think I would like to know what artistic period or style the artist was from.
Well, you don't need to know that. All you need to do is guess. All you need to do is guess at the answer. So you don't need to know, like, the intricates.
Where was the artist from? What country?
He's from a very flat land with tulips.
Okay, it's got to be Van Gogh then, hasn't it?
What's the answer?
Van Gogh.
No, that's wrong.
Oh,
what? I'm only joking. It's right. Of course it's right. Yes, well done. Can you tell me the ingredients of the sandwich known as the Elvis?
I can, and I always could. Peanut butter, jam, or jelly, as the Americans would call it.
Yes.
Banana, and fried. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is exactly right. Well done. We're big fans of that sandwich, aren't we? You make that sandwich for Cliff all the time.
No,
massive fans.
Nothing for him. He doesn't like peanut butter. He says it's claggy, so he wouldn't thank us for making that sandwich for him.
Oh, well, that's a goddamn shame. In the film Stand By Me, what food is eaten in the competitive eating scene, do you think?
Now, I thought I'd seen this film. I don't I don't actually think I have, but when I think of competitive eating, I think hot dogs, eggs, that kind of thing. But I think you're going to say that I'm wrong.
You are wrong. I'm not even going to give you the answer, because people should know. Okay. But do you know who wrote the story Stand By Me?
No.
You don't?
I do not.
It's Stephen King.
Oh.
You won't know what the character's called who does the competitive eating.
Pennywise.
Lord ass.
That sounds very Stephen King.
It does, certainly does. Last one, you'll be glad to know.
Okay.
What can you tell me about the former computer repair technician, Armin Muse?
Armin Muse?
Yes.
What's he doing now? If he's a former computer technician, what is he doing now?
Unfortunately for him, he's now incarcerated.
Oh. He's hacking.
He's looking on his phone, isn't he?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
Shall I give you some clues?
Go on.
He's called the Rotten Berg Cannibal as well.
Oh.
He's German.
Mm-hmm. He's a cannibal. He's a cannibal.
Yes.
It's not going well for this guy, is it? If this was a Tinder profile, nobody's swiping. he's in prison because he's a cannibal, I want to say.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're right with that. In 2001, he killed and ate a willen victim he found on the internet.
Oh.
They both ate the victim's penis.
Was it an eating
Do you know what
challenge?
He said the penis tasted like? No, it wasn't an eating challenge, no. Do you know what human flesh tastes like, Jake?
Chicken.
It's pork, apparently. So you did quite well on that, even though you cheated.
No, I think cheating's a strong word.
It is, isn't it? But a true word in this instance.
Podcast back.
You can put your foolish lover back on.
Well, Paul's here, so
I'll have to wait for that bit, wouldn't he?
That was a little joke. We love each other very
just a little joke that's love each other a good
much.
One though.
We've got a very cute baby.
Enjoy that, did you?
That?
Uh-huh.
Did enjoy that, yes, it was very good.
Well,
even though what I do twice.
I most certainly did not.
You didn't enjoy that.
No, of course not. Didn't know
you
what was
like
going
envelopes.
On. Didn't know
don't
what
like
was
envelopes.
Going on. Couldn't hear.
First of all
I could hear was every now and then Jane going, eggs, Warhammer, Van Gogh, peanut butter. Yeah. No, he doesn't like it.
First of all, though, Cliff, I must say what a fantastic guest Davey was and what a fantastic guy. The conversation seemed to last 5 minutes, didn't it?
What I know, it went over so quick. We'll definitely get back on. What a brilliant bloke in there. Yeah, that was totally enjoyable. I'm sure everybody listening will enjoy.
it was really good.
Well, I don't think we even scratched the surface of what it was like being on MasterChef, to be honest. But great. Nice to hear about even just from the top level, like what it was like being on it and his experiences after and stuff like that. And I know he's a big music fan. We didn't really touch on that. So next, maybe when we do a music episode with one of the bands that he likes, Smiths maybe, we'll get him back on for that. But nice bloke. Thanks for coming on, Davey. Really appreciate it. It was nice chatting to you. So that was good. I missed my quiz.
Top
so
man.
Sounded like she did better than I normally do anyway.
She did all right.
But,
I mean, she did cheat.
But never do it again. So, yeah.
Okay, then. Well, next week, you can ask because you know that the wife will come on next week. You can have Lisa on. She can answer the questions. Dean Dovey, that's who we've got this week, who is a songwriter, singer-songwriter from Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
He's really talented, I think. I listened to this song once, I think. Yeah, Dean sort of sent us a message on Twitter. We'll have a listen to this. And I only need to listen to it once to know that it was really good. So, yeah, we got him on. Very sort of Richard Ashcrofty, I thought.
Is it called Journey to the Sun? That's
right, yes. Journey to the Sun.
Yeah, like it's a kind of classic, like epic indie rock, isn't it? Like you say, very Richard Ashcroft, you know, like an Oasis kind of one of their slower numbers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought his voice is great. Really nice. Really nice. I sent the link to the video to Davey as well, and he said the same thing. So
there you go. High praise indeed.
Yeah, really good. So cheers, Dean, for sending it. We're very pleased that you're on. It'll start playing right about now. It just leaves for me to say thanks for listening. As always, like, subscribe, rate, follow, listen, share. Bye.
Why not?
Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm a head full of voices loaded like a gun. If you think I'm going crazy, you're not the only one. Let's let's get away.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.